720 WGN. It is Dane here with you. High atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. Excited to be with you until 3 p.m. today with an eclectic blend of, we'll talk a little bit of food. We will definitely do that as Chicago Gourmet is coming up. We're going to talk a little bit of sports and some of the experiences that have been happening. We're going to highlight some different personalities as well as we go throughout the course of the program. Coming up, we're going to have Anne-Marie Rowe. She's the president of BAM Production. I think we all saw the Field of Dreams game that happened out in Dyersville, Iowa, and just what an undertaking that was. We're going to get behind the scenes to see what it took to do something without CGI special effects. There's a couple of movie stars there, that's for sure, but to be able to create a real baseball game in the middle, and I'm not going to say it was the middle of nowhere, but they didn't have a lot to work with and had to build it all from scratch. So we'll talk with her after the first break. We are also going to visit with one of our favorite guys, James S. Murray. You know him affectionately as Murr from Impractical Jokers, and they are excited to get out on the road. He's going to talk about the tour that is coming up with the guys. He's also going to talk about his latest book. He's a prolific and best-selling author. And then also, as we kind of hit on Iowa again, maybe that'll be a recurring theme for the program, he's got some shows, some solo shows coming up. And I think we're going to organize maybe a bus trip to head out there and see Murr in person. Andrew, you're familiar with Murr, right? Impractical Jokers, you know what it is. Would you take a bus trip? Don't say no. Would you take a bus trip out to Iowa to see Murr?
Absolutely.
All right, good. Okay, you'll be on. You can help pass out snacks and things like that. We're also going to talk with Jessica and Zach from Bad Cat Cocktails. When it comes to a good time, not only do you want some laughs, but also some great cocktails. And we've highlighted a few different different groups as sort of the food situation, the food delivery, the way people consume things and get things has changed. Certainly with Amazon, a lot of things are being delivered. People like that, right? And Bad Cat is doing that on the cocktail side, and they've gotten some well-deserved accolades, and we'll talk with those guys a little bit about what's happening and what's going to be happening as well. Coming after that, it's not often that you get to be part of sort of a situation that that helps to create something kind of delicious just through sort of the think tank process. And AJ Allmendinger, you know him as NASCAR star. He was also IndyCar star, commentator, and all those kind of things. One of the hottest drivers right now in racing. And Andy, it's a great combination. And Andy Kunz from Andy's Frozen Custard. Now, I was one of the first, I think I was the first person to bring Andy's Custard into the studio here at WGN not quite 10 years ago when they first came into the market with the pumpkin concrete. And so they've got some exciting ways that they're working with racing and sponsoring and creating a brand new thing that we're going to unveil and announce a little bit later on today in the program. We're also going to talk Chicago Gourmet. We may have a visit from Phil Vitale, and we'll preview some things that we're going to be doing next Friday where we're going to have Rick Bayless and a bunch of other chefs connecting with Chicago Gourmet. Going to be a little different this year, a little more open. Some signature events that you know and love will be back, plus some new ones like tacos and tequilas. And then we're going to talk with Derek from Pauly G's Pizza in Logan Square. So we're going to touch on a bunch of stuff, a little bit of food, some sports. I think Adeline Gray, who just won a silver medal at the Olympics, is going to share some back-to-school advice as well. So keep it here. When we come back from the break, we're going to have Anne-Marie Rowe from BAM Productions. It's Dane here on 720 WGN.
I'm telling you, we had hoped for something wonderful. This exceeded every expectation any of us had. It was so special. And what's most amazing for me is I just love projects that where somebody had a dream and you can say, okay, I can make that dream come true.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and excited to have on the line a visionary leader who helps to shape and share iconic events and memorable moments in sports and more. The president of BAM Productions, the one and only Anne-Marie Rowe. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dane. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. Pan Am Games, the NHL Winter Classic, Super Bowl, most recently the incredible MLB Field of Dreams game in Iowa. All amazing and bucket list events. For the listeners in general, though, can you give sort of a snapshot of the BAM role, maybe the goal, the philosophy that brings these events to life, to exceed expectations, many times create an experience that transcends the sports themselves?
Yes, I can. I can tell you that there's nothing that makes us happier than being called by the leagues, and generally speaking, the person at the league who has the fantastic idea and the big vision and says, this is what I want to do, you know, can you help us get there? And ideally, our role, we are the group that, you know, really prides ourselves around coming around a great idea and figuring the route to making that happen.
Yeah, Marie, for the Super Bowl, you know, 50 plus years, we know what it is, what it means, sort of what it looks like. For Field of Dreams, what did you have? You had sort of a vibe, maybe a context. And so talk a little bit about the team. You get the idea from MLB. For you and Bam to create something special, you had to come up with something that really didn't exist before and was totally unique.
So, yeah, the idea came out of the commissioner's office at baseball. And the challenge was, can we build a Major League Baseball park at the Field of Dreams? And my first response to most of those questions is, yes, we can. And it's just a matter of, you know, planning out how we're going to get there. And so I connected with my partners at Populous and at Brightview, and we were on an airplane within, I'm going to say, 6 or 7 days of being asked if we could take a look at this. We connected with the owner of the Field of Dreams, and we didn't really know what to expect. I was well-versed in the movie, but I had never been to the movie site. And so we traveled into Iowa, and we drove the road, and we arrived at the Field of Dreams, and we got out of our cars, and we met Denise. And my first response was, wow, this is a pretty special place, but it's kind of small. Like, I didn't imagine how we could figure a Major League ballpark on this site, and more importantly, how we could maintain sort of the magic of the Field of Dreams site itself. And so we went to work, and we went to work imagining how we could make this come true. And what we ended up with was, obviously, people needed to walk through the corn, and obviously people needed to sort of see the majesty of the movie site, and then off in the distance, you know, the Major League Baseball park. So that was the vision. And we started sketching and drawing and just thinking about what that could be. And then we started making the list of all the things that could kind of go wrong. And we set to planning around that, because when you're in a, you know, relatively remote site with no services on a site and some, you know, single lane roads, and a smaller, although eager, community, there is a long list of challenges. And that's where we started. We went back to baseball shortly after that and said, it can absolutely be done, and here's what it would take.
It's the kind of thing where at first blush you're thinking, well, geez, why not? It's a movie about baseball. They're playing games of baseball. Sure, we can do it. And then when you get there and realize just how different it would have to be, but also how much of that kind of sameness you would want to maintain and preserve. So outside of looking amazing, and it did, and for the listeners, we'll have lots of pictures, millions of people saw it on television, so they got it. But up close and personal, it was every bit better being there. It also had to be an international media compound, a cutting edge broadcast site, all the creature comforts that fans, certainly teams, need, right? Fans have come to expect, while still keeping the vibe of that small town game, family folklore, all that. So talk a little bit about the tech side. So some of the things that you know you needed that you didn't have, because this is not downtown Chicago. This is not Wrigley Field. This is, you said, rural and remote. It is every bit that, but things that were necessary, but you had to sort of keep off the radar on the public facing side.
Yep. So once we set out into the cornfield, we didn't have a proper cell phone signal. And so, you know, you make the list of the technical requirements, from reliable cell signals to power to, you know, plumbing, water supply, a fairly long list. And while we can bring a lot of those assets onto a site, you have to bring them onto that site in a way that you don't, you know, damage or ruin what's there, and not interrupt, I'm going to say, the arrival for the fans of the game. They didn't want to arrive in the back door of a construction site or arrive in the back door of a paved out parking lot. They wanted to arrive beside a cornfield and make their walk. And so that fan experience was one of the most important things. I remember getting out of the car and walking down the road with Todd Barnes. And we thought to ourselves, like, this is a really narrow road, and there's a fairly big, you know, culvert beside this road. And we needed to think through all the things that could happen with traffic congestion and just, you know, en masse. We didn't at that time know how many people we were going to be able to bring to the site, but our instinct said somewhere around 5,000. We ended up just under 8,000. And we started thinking about, you know, the fans that make the trek, while this might be a really hard job for us, I don't think anyone would be too forgiving if arriving was not pleasant, if parking was impossible, if, you know, it was basically a battle to kind of get to your seat. And so we needed to unlock all of those solutions as we went through the design and the planning process.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Anne-Marie Rose. She is the president of BAM Productions. You all enjoyed, everybody saw the amazing Field of Dreams, and she was part of the integral and driving force of what made that happen and made it possible. But oftentimes, Anne-Marie, the things that you're doing, those kind of magical things on the experience side, you don't always have to have the infrastructure for it. It's not like you have to bring power there, bring cell service. Was this what maybe the most remote project that you guys had done where you had to really deliver on the experience side and for a worldwide audience, but you didn't have any of those basics?
100%. In fact, I've talked with some of my coworkers in the industry, and now we're wondering, like, what else can we do? We can do some, you know, pretty incredible things if we can do this. I will throw out one thing, Dane. The other really incredible component here were the people that came to be part of this with us. So we recruited hundreds of local staff. Aramark brought in hundreds of staff themselves to help with the food and beverage service. Without that sort of animated spirit, the people, the greeters, that live part of the site, I think it wouldn't have mattered if we had brought all the technology together and all of the landscaping together. That other layer, the people part of this, that was the thing I think that took it to the top.
There was, and I think at a certain level, there was a level of expectations to have something that was usable, playable, deliverable. But to a person, I really feel like, and I know that the fans absolutely loved it, to a person, the players, everybody. But what I think the greatest triumph of what this was for you guys and for BAM was that the players and stars were equally as excited to be there as any of the fans. You guys succeeded in creating not only experience, but feel, and I'm doing the air quotes here, a feel basically from dreams that was actually the biggest, even with Kevin Costner there and the Yankees, the field was the biggest celebrity in Dyersville that night.
It was incredible. When the players arrived, they had their own time on the original field before they were going to make the walk to the clubhouses. And it was going slower than I had thought it would. And that's when we found out that every single player was in the corn maze playing around before they actually went to the clubhouses. And when we discovered that that was happening, I think we all knew in that minute it was extra special because, you know, those players had a game to play, an important game to play, and they stopped and they just took in the moments. They took in every bit of it.
It transported them to either their childhood, to the movies, to their love and connection with baseball. It was amazing. I've never seen it. Covered a lot of things, and I've never seen the players who are, you know, sometimes they're busy, and like you said, they've got other things like the game on their mind, just get sort of lost in those moments. Okay, so I want to ask you this and let the listeners know, of course, we're talking with Anne-Marie Rowe, president of BAM Productions. Since 2003, you've been leading the way. I know you and I got a chance to talk about the Wrigley Field Winter Classic with the Blackhawks. Absolutely amazing. Where does this rank? As a person who, you guys do this stuff all the time, I mean, where does it rank as far as kind of your experiences, or would you say this is just business as usual for BAM?
Oh, no, these are very special experiences, and I remember that Wrigley game as well. And, you know, these are pinnacle moments in our career, and I think this is what keeps us coming back. We're so lucky that our work is a work of passion. And, you know, while I don't know if I would want to rank the different projects, certainly the one that you've just finished and was so successful, you know, sits at the very top of the list right now. And, it was very special for everybody who got to be part of it.
Last thing, you guys never stopped. Was there any kind of unexpected input, comment, feedback that you got that you were really surprised about? Maybe a call from somewhere or someone that had watched that you didn't necessarily think about? That's it. And then, of course, what's next for BAM?
So I actually had hundreds of text messages from, I had text messages from people I went to high school with that
nice.
I haven't talked to in years and years who were sending me congratulations, who reached out just to say that was awesome. I was at home and I was watching that. It was so special to hear from everybody. And I think most of my coworkers experienced the same thing. The Ray family, the farmers that we worked with, he said that he heard from people he hasn't talked with in over 20 years that were calling him to say congratulations on being part of it.
high praise and a success on absolutely every single level. And of course, you know, having Major League Baseball announce within moments that they had to do this again, I think is a testament to everything that you and your team brought to life there. So that is great stuff. And as we let you go, people want to catch up with Bam and find out what it is you're doing, your adventures, social media. Where can they go?
They can go to BamProductions.com or look for us at Bam Productions. And we have a great social media team who likes to share what we're doing because we're always so interested in getting feedback from people.
Amazing stuff. Thanks so much for everything that you're doing, that you did for sports, for baseball, and continue to do. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you, Dane. It was great to meet you there.
Such cool stuff that they are doing. And these are the same people that brought us the Winter Classic. We mentioned it during the interview where they took the Blackhawks and put them at Soldier Field and, of course, Wrigley Field. And so this was a tough one, but they did it out in Iowa. When we come back from the news, we're going to keep sort of the Iowa connections. James S. Murray Murr from Impractical Jokers is going to join us, and he is going to be doing in the next couple weeks some shows out in Iowa. He's going to be, I think, in Des Moines, in Dubuque. He's going to be in East Moline. That is in Illinois, so he'll be there for that, and we'll talk with him about that. I think we'll be able to, I talked about it a little before the break, we're going to try to maybe organize a trip. So ontheroadwithdane@gmail.com, ontheroadwithdane@gmail.com, if you're interested in maybe coming along with that and heading to Iowa to see Murr and see some of his shows, we'll do that as well. And stay tuned, because next Friday I'll be in for Anna DeVlantzis, and we're going to talk more about some of the things related to the Field of Dreams. The Cubs have been announced along with the Reds as the next participant in what is going to be a staple now. So it is going to be an exciting thing. It was absolutely amazing to be able to be there. We'll have things up at WGNradio.com for that as well. And stay tuned also a little bit later on in the program. Andrew kind of clued me in on something, as we will highlight Chicago Gourmet Burger Fest is back. So one of the things that he is excited about, having that opportunity to check out, we'll talk about some of the burgers. I don't know if Chicago's, it is known, you know, it was a steak and potatoes town. It certainly is, you know, a pizza town, a hot dog town. Is it a burger town, do you think? Andrew, your thoughts? Burger town?
I don't know, but the burgers there are really good. So
yeah, there's going to be plenty of them. Hamburger Hop is one of the biggest events, of course, for Chicago Gourmet as well. So we'll talk about all that stuff. Keep it here. James S. Murray Murr coming up after the news. Dane on 720 WGN.
Dude, I'm so excited. We just announced our tour, the Scoop Sea Potatoes Tour. We start November 19th, and we do 40 arenas in a row over the next year. So it's a lot of fun. It's my favorite part of the job.
Hey, everybody. It is Murr from Impractical Jokers, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, and always awesome to have international best-selling author with titles like Awakened, Obliteration, Don't Move, The Brink, and the highly anticipated new release Stowaway coming soon. Oh, and he's also part of the greatest comedy team of our generation, the Impractical Jokers, James S. Murray. Murr, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane. How are you, buddy? Good to talk with you again.
Well, it's good to have you on, as things kind of get back to a lot of things we know and love. Well, the last time we talked, it was just before you were getting married, and I asked if maybe you were going to be inspired to write a Nicholas Sparks-style romance novel, or maybe even a Harlequin romance, you know, with maybe an oil-painted cover, Fabio-esque with Q, with flowing mane and open shirts. Stowaway is not that, but it is different. All the drama and excitement of a James S. Murray book, less aliens, right? What will fans know, love, and appreciate, and what is new for your readers to enjoy?
I got to tell you, I took your advice to heart. I thought a lot about like writing a romance or some kind of romantic, maybe a romantic thriller, something like that. And as I was writing Stowaway, people just kept dying in the book. So I don't know what happened. So it's unfortunately not a romance, but I love it. The Stowaway comes out September 21st in bookstores everywhere and Amazon, but you can pre-order it now. And it's the broadest book we've ever written. It is pure mystery thriller. So it's not horror. It's not sci-fi. It's pure mystery thriller with a strong female character lead. She is amazing. You're going to love her, root for her, and love how she outsmarts the killer at the end. You're not going to guess the ending. It's going to keep you twisting and turning the whole way. It's basically about a serial killer on a cruise ship. It's a transatlantic cruise, and they are 4 days in any direction from land. And she's the only one that can stop him before he strikes again, because she has intimate details of the case that she was on as a juror, and she knows the killer's MO. And it's up to her to stop him before he keeps killing, because, of course, the cruise ship security is not equipped to stop a serial killer. You know, they have not don't have the training, don't have the planning, the expertise to stop this guy and to know what he's going to do next, and only she can. It's such a great page-turning, twisting-turning thriller, and you're going to love the twist at the end and where we go from it. And the last chapter is so good, we nailed the ending, I'm telling you.
Is it one of those food things where you should eat the dessert first? We should read that last chapter. No, don't do that.
Don't
okay.
start with the last chapter, whatever you do. It's worth the journey to get there. And you read the last chapter, you're like, yeah!
Well, it's got a lot of the things that people know and love about it, with the action, the drama, and certainly a lot of people die, but always for the cause of a great book. And for the first ones, it was all you guys, and it was all you, and you decided, okay, this is what I want to do. I feel like this will resonate with people. But now a few books in, you know, there's more people that sort of weigh in, whether it's fans saying, or maybe you saying, hey, I want to kind of diversify and stretch. And so as the topics go, like this one, was this the kind of story you always wanted to do once you got done with the other series, or is this a natural progression of maybe input saying, like, we'd love to see this from you?
This it's the craziest story of how we sold this book. So we went out. So I pitched a book to the publisher, St. Martin's Press, and they passed on that one, but they really wanted to work together with Darren and I. And so we went out to lunch one day, and I'll be honest, we were drinking a little bit at lunch with the publisher. And the publisher said, our editor said, you know, I've always been interested in like a cruise ship book. We don't have any cruise ship books. I said, okay. Literally on the spot, I was like, I wonder what's a good cruise ship book that hasn't been done. And I just said the out loud the sentence, has there ever been a serial killer on a cruise ship idea? And he looked at me, he says, I've never heard of that idea. I was like, neither have I. I have a pretty good history of horror and things like that, and mysteries and thrills. I was like, I've never heard of that before. He goes, no. I said, how about I write a book about a serial killer on a cruise ship, and there's only one passenger. It was completely spontaneous. In the moment, we were three glasses of wine in, and he says, I love it. And we wrote up a paragraph on it, and they bought it, knowing anything else other than a paragraph. And then we had to figure out what the idea was.
It's kind of genius. You never know what kind of inspiration your work is going to be, or how it's going to resonate with different people, you know, families or friends or serial killers out there. But, you know, you think Zodiac Killer or Hillside Strangler or any of that stuff on the true crime side, there hasn't been a cruise ship killer, but you think everybody comes there and then everybody sort of disperses. It might be the perfect kind of serial killer in general.
The crazy thing about a cruise ship is, you know, obviously we do the Impractical Jokers cruise.
Yes.
We've done four of them so far. And when you're out there on the open seas at nighttime, it's terrifying, right? There's nothing around. It's just pitch blackness, especially if there's no moon. It's just nothing. You experience this. Some people experience calmness, others experience a very existential dread, you know, and you realize how big the world is and how tiny you are, and also how easy it would be. One of the toughest chapters in the book to read is when the killer just picks someone up and tosses them over at midnight.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And you're in the North Atlantic, and that person will never be found, of course, you know, and it is such a simple way for the killer to strike in this chapter, and it is one of those things that will stick with you as a reader every single time you set foot on a boat.
You think about this for the tours that you guys do and for the cruises, you always have a great roster of opening acts and supporting acts, and a serial killer, maybe something, you know, a little danger, right? But totally unique. Nobody does that. Build that in to some of the things that you're doing over the last, you know, year and a half or so. There's been a lot of time, been a great opportunity to get down, sit down, and write. And over the last few years, you've become really prolific with it. As things open up and you have so many more opportunities on the TV side and the tour side and all that, but you've built up some expectations for readers and things like that. Is it the kind of thing that you feel, are you going to be doing maybe less books over the next 2 years? Is it something that you kind of hit your groove and you guys are going to be doing even more? And then just on the process, like, do you enjoy the writing process? It's great for readers. You've obviously been very successful, but what's that like? Is it something that you do because you're good at it, or is it something you really love?
I do like writing. I like the process of creating more than the writing. Like, I like the idea creation more. That's always the easiest part. then you have to execute. But I do enjoy the process. I've had a lot of time to write in the past year, obviously. We have three more books coming out. We created a children's book series, like a middle grade book series called Area 51 Interns that comes out from Penguin Random House. It's about kids that are about to go into high school. It's their summer before high school year, and their parents just so happen to work at Area 51. And it's Take Your Kids to Work Day.
Oh, jeez.
And they take their kids to work, and all hell breaks loose in Area 51, and it's up to the kids to save the day. So after the events of book one, the parents offer them an internship for the summer, their last summer together, and it becomes every book becomes another adventure at Area 51 for these kids, these 11, 12-year-old kids. And the first book comes out next April, and then we have two more. We have three of them coming out. It's like a book series, you know? So I just like trying new things. I think our Joker's fans will love that book series as well. I think I'll keep writing forever. Why not? I love doing it. I love creating these ideas.
Well, and you've got fans that do really run the gamut. So it isn't just one demographic. It is. It's kids, it's senior citizens, and everybody in between. As you guys are getting back to more Jokers, new shows, you know, and additional shows other than just, of course, Impractical Jokers like Misery Index podcast and more. People are excited, but nothing compares. And I got to let the listeners know we're talking, of course, to Murr from the Impractical Jokers. Is nothing compares to you guys live there with, let's say, 20,000 of your friends and family members. And so talk a little bit about that. I know that you've announced some things, but I'm not sure. Have you guys gotten a chance over the last, you know, near future as it sort of shapes out to talk about how excited you guys are to get back out there?
You know what, Murr? Hold that thought. We are going to take a quick break and catch up on some things. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Murr, James S. Murray from Impractical Jokers. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane here with you live until 3 p.m. and continuing our conversation with James S. Murray, acclaimed international best-selling author, and of course, Murr from Impractical Jokers. And before we went to the break, Murr, we were talking a little bit about, and I'll say for the listeners too, as much as you love the shows, as much as you love, you know, some of the other things and ways that they come to you on, whether it's social media or with activities, there's nothing like seeing them live. And so, Murr, like, share as things, you know, you've got some announcements coming up and some different ways you guys are getting out there. Talk about how excited you are to get back out on the road.
Dude, I'm so excited. We just announced our tour, the Scoopsie Potatoes Tour. We start November 19th, and we do 40 arenas in a row over the next year. And we have still a few more to announce. We're announcing some big ones that aren't on that schedule yet, like the Boston Garden. And of course, we'll be back in New York at some point, either at Madison Square Garden or Radio City. We'll see where we're going to go. But I'm so excited. It's my favorite part of the job. My favorite part of the job is performing live. And that's why, like, for the past, like, I just got back yesterday. I had a few solo shows. I do my own solo shows now too, stand up and talking live and performing live. I was in Florida doing four shows, and 2 weeks ago I was in Baltimore, and then coming up I'm in Louisiana in September, and then I'm also in doing four shows in Iowa and Illinois in September 9, 10, 11, 12.
Nice.
Dubuque and Des Moines and East Moline, and you know, so it's a lot of fun. It's my favorite part of the job, performing live.
When you guys have gotten to the point where now you're talking Madison Square Garden, you'll be here on New Year's Eve in the United Center, right here in Chicago. It doesn't get
That's
any.
Right. We're celebrating with you guys.
I know.
On New Year's Eve.
Well, we'll be there. We'll hope to see you there in person as well. But you mentioned some of those little places, and we talked a little bit ago about, you know, just that fan base kind of running through everywhere, not only old and young, but all across the country. And what do you think? And what have you guys learned? Because the first time that we saw you in person, I think, was in Bloomington, Illinois, and you play a lot of these markets that would not normally host an act of, I guess, your caliber, right? Where that's really exciting for this to come to town. What have you guys, why do you think that's important to go to some of these places that are maybe a little off the beaten path? And how does that sort of prepare you to relate to so many different fans with the shows and everything else?
You know, we are regular guys. I think that comes across on Jokers, right? We're best friends. We worked really hard. We failed a long time, and then we finally got lucky and made a run of it. I want to perform everywhere. If it were me, we would do 500 shows a year. You know what I mean? Like, I love traveling. I love meeting fans. I love performing in every city in America. you know, big or small. And I love to see the impact the show has on people. So if it were me, we would perform 2-3 times as much. That's why I like I like combining the Joker's tour with like my own performances. And I also do like book appearances. I go to bookstores around the country and sign books and meet fans that way. And it's all great because I love seeing. Look, we worked our whole life to get to the point where we could just make people laugh for a living. So to be able to meet fans and hear their stories and how the show affects them positively makes it all worthwhile.
For you guys doing the things that you, of course, have and people love what it is that you're doing, you guys have gotten so famous where to do the traditional Joker show where you show up and no one knows who you are is probably gotten really hard. And you guys are doing different things with the concerts and with the other programs and some of the other ways that are doing it. And I got to compare it to, but it's been so awesome to see your careers explode and all that. So a mutual friend of ours, Guy Fieri, you know him from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I've known him forever. I know his mom and his dad and his wife and all his kids. And I remember back before he was, you know, still like on Food Network, but he wasn't famous. Like you could walk wherever, right? It wouldn't be a big deal. And now recently, if we hang out, it's impossible for him to get around. What is it like for you? How has it changed? Are you still kind of cool with the whole fame thing, or is it something that you sort of have to maybe navigate in advance? Can you not go out together? What's it been like?
I love it. I've wanted this my whole life. You know, I worked through this my whole life to get in a position where I could be on TV, make people laugh, and support myself and my family in that way. So I love it personally. I also have a higher tolerance for, you know, the kind of interaction. And I also realize that obviously none of this is possible without our fans. So for me, I love it. That's why like I'm the only one that still does meet and greets and things like that with fans before shows, after shows. You know, I love it. I love it. I think it's great. But no, it's not like we have. I live in an all glass house. It's not like I'm worried about Bob Ross, you know, stealing shots of me, you know, drinking a bottle of wine in my living room. It ain't like that. You know, we are still on channel 1 million.
I guess, but as a guy who said, hey, you know, those guys, the response back over the last handful of years has gotten different. And so last thing, and of course, we're going to have links up at WGNradio.com for all that. Would love to get in touch with you about those shows and or promote those ones in Iowa a little bit early, some of the independent stuff, and of course, highlight the books. But like you look at Joe, and now you guys have more things in common with the whole family thing and the wife thing, and he uses his platform in ways that aren't just great where you're providing entertainment for people. I feel like that's a public service, but he's also supporting the pet side and some other causes. For Murr, have you thought about it? Like what kind of things? Because you can use this platform to do so many great things on the entertainment side, but also sort of in that higher purpose world. What are your thoughts?
We did a lot of stuff. Last year, I think we raised $270,000, I think it was, for first responders during COVID, which was crazy. We put up this really kind of crazy auction we did last year, and fans raised a ton of money for it. You know what I mean? It was really, really cool promotion we did. And we do stuff like that all the time. And I know we each have kind of like things that are near and dear to our heart, obviously. You know, Joe does a lot with animals, and Sal does a lot with St. Jude's. And my personal thing is I'm a sucker for Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Oh, that's great.
We do a ton of those too, which I think is so valuable. But yeah, I mean, that's always part of our DNA. Of course.
Oh, it's great. Always giving back, and of course, giving people great entertainment through the television, the tours, and of course, the books coming up with Stowaway, and we'll have links up again. And Murray, as we let you go, social media wise, where can people go to like find out more information about the tour dates, get those tickets, get involved, and come out and check you out?
Yeah, you know, my own solo tour dates, you can go to jamesmurrayofficial.com, and that'll take you to sites like, you know, for Iowa and for Alabama, every place I'm coming up soon, and more days to come. And of course, the Tenderloins. You can go to our website, thetenderloins.com, for the Impractical Jokers tour. The Stowaway is available now for pre-order. Go onto Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever books are sold, and you can order a copy of The Stowaway, and you will not be disappointed.
Oh, Murr, it's always great to have you on. Thanks so much for what you and, of course, the guys are doing to keep everybody entertained through all this. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
You got it, buddy. Take it easy. Thanks for having me, Dane.
WGN, it is Dane here with you. Big thanks to Murr for jumping on. And when you got a trip that is going to be about maybe 3 hours, you're going to want to have some libations on there, as long as you're not driving, maybe on a bus. And if you take that tour on the road with Dane at Gmail, for those people, we're getting quite a few people interested in coming with us to go visit and see Murr. And on the line with us, some guys who, well, guys and girls, right, who are bringing cocktails. And it's one of the things that I think Chicago is known for, their great cocktail and mixology scene. And they're taking it to another level. And we've highlighted some of these places over the course of the last couple of years where delivery is becoming more and more of not only an indulgence, but a necessity. It's Bad Cat Cocktails. We've got Jessica and Zach on the line. Guys, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Well, it's great. It's great to have you on. And in the about 5 minutes or so that we've got to kind of get that little snapshot, talk about the inspiration for it. I know during the pandemic, people weren't able to get in and visit things. And so maybe out of the necessity side, but now it's the kind of thing I'm sure with Bad Cat, people are just relying on.
Yeah, so Zach and I, between the two of us, have close to 20 years of hospitality experience, not quite. And Zach is a certified bartender mixologist, and I have been in the events and hospitality restaurant scene for a while as well. So when the pandemic hit, one of my friends actually said to me, she's like, Jessica, Zach makes great drinks. You guys should do something with that. So as things continued, by May, we had started rolling, and since then, we have done a variety of things. Of course, we delivered to people, and people have asked us to do cocktails for their virtual events and different things, too. So we've done some little classes for people, and we've delivered to some galas and, of course, like birthday parties or just like, hey, it's Friday night. Where can I get a good drink?
We're going to have links up at WGNradio.com for that. And Zach, so your background, and for the listeners, let them know, is science, right? And so a lot of that does kind of lend itself to success on the mixology side. It's one thing to make drinks and cocktails in a bar. What was the thought of being able to make them and make them mobile?
Well, part of it is, you're right. It's being able to consider the vessel size. You have to be very precise with the measurements. And you also have to think about what will travel. Obviously, you can't do, like, you know, frozen slushy drinks. They'll melt. So you want something where, you know, 95% of the work is done, and then you just pour it over ice, and you can just enjoy it right out of the jar. And then the other aspect is I put a lot of thought into what flavors work together. We had one client who wanted a custom cocktail using mezcal. So mezcal is very smoky. So I did a honey habanero syrup to add some sweetness, but also some heat. And then I used as a reference the very classic Paloma drink to kind of fit it all together. And then another instance is the classic old fashioned, and one of my signature moves to make it a better drink and make it something that will travel is I actually infuse the simple syrup with the orange, so there's no muddling, there's no trying to, you know, have to peel an orange over the drink. It's just already infused into the drink, so you get a great experience right out of the jar.
It's great to have not only the delivery side of it happen, the logistics, but also that mindset, the mixology mindset, to help create and even collaborate with some drinks. And so, Jessica, as we let you go, what is the website for people to get more information? Of course, we'll have links up at WGNradio.com. Where can people go?
Yeah, you can find us at www.badcatcocktails.com or on Instagram at badcatcocktails.
Jessica and Zach from Bad Cat Cocktails, thanks for everything you guys are doing, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having us, Dane.
Thanks for having us.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and get some news when we come back. AJ Allmendinger, so keep it here, Dane, on 720 WGN.